Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is one of the most important truths in the Bible relating to believers. Believers are a new creature. They are not the old creature, they are a new creature. What does it mean that we are the new creature? We can read sometimes passages in the Bible and we receive them without really understanding them. That's not great. We want to understand the things that the Bible tells us. So what does it mean that we are a new creature? Because we feel sometimes like the old creature. We know that in Romans 5:12, by one person, one man, sin entered into the world. That was Adam. When Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, one of the effects was that the sin nature came into his genetics. That was part of the death of Genesis 2:17, when God said to him, "Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from that tree, you will die." Death is a genetic thing. The genetics control death. Just like they control so much about your life, they also control death. And so, what God was telling Adam is if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, your genetics will change. And part of that change is that death will come in. Another part of that change, and this is what causes that death, is that the sin nature will come in. That is genetic. The only thing that we receive from Adam is genetics. And so, when we have a sin nature that originated with Adam, it's because the sin nature is in our genetics, in our genes. And that means it spreads to every human being. Every human being has this sin nature. Now, that made us in a certain way, to be a certain way. That person who was dead in sin, separated from Christ, that person was crucified on the cross. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16. We were present with Christ on the cross. Now, like we said earlier, that will seem hard to understand if you think of the cross as being 2,000 years ago. The problem isn't when the cross was, the problem is in our understanding of time. I'm not going to get into that now. But it's enough to say time is not what we experience it to be. Time is much more than that. Our experience of time is very small, and it doesn't give us a good representation of what time really is. Time is different everywhere. Don't think of time as a continuous passage of moments. That's your experience of it. That's the same as if you think that space is a continuous passage of millimeters. Right? It's not. All of space exists. Your experience of it is a continuous passage. You go somewhere, you're going in a passage, but the place is already there. And the place you left is still there. Okay, time's kind of the same way. It all exists right now. So it doesn't matter that it was what you would call 2,000 years ago. That's only your experience of it. It's actually now still. We were with him on the cross. We died with him on the cross. We were cleansed by his blood as he bled on us. As we were his body on the cross, we were buried with him when they took him down from the cross, and we were resurrected with him when he rose again. That resurrected person is not the dead person. That resurrected person is the one new man. You are the one new man with Christ. One, what do you mean one? You and Christ are now one. That's the new creation. Now that word new in the original language is the word kainos. And it literally means newly made. Sometimes people are tempted to say, no, that's new only in quality, but not really new. That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. The reason why they say that is because they can't understand how you can be made to be new. Well, you can. You can be made to be new. And there's a very clear explanation of how that works. Biology shows us that that is, in fact, possible, that you can be made to be new. Now, again, that's a long message, and we're not going to get into that. Online, if you're listening to this, and you're wondering, how can that be? Look up that message, Mirror Images of the Soul. And then you will see how that can be. Now, we are new creatures. The word creature means species. Okay, it's not just that you're a new being. It's you're a new species. Before the cross, there was no such thing as God-man. At the cross, that became reality. At the cross, we became one person with Him. Now, we are the body of Christ. He is our head. We are the body. You can call us God-man with Christ, because we are His body. That's the new creature. You're not the person who was separated from God. That person died. Sometimes people will think about themselves as though they are who they were before they were saved. That's not actually true. Even biologically, that's not true. They'll say, we have memories. Memories are deceptive. Be careful with saying, I remember. People remember according to their frame of reference. They don't remember according to reality. Now, again, I'm not going to get into the full nature of this. That's a long message. But suffice it to say that you are not the person that was not saved. Sometimes people think, well, I got saved, and this is usually people who are a little bit older, at least beyond their teen years, sometimes in their teen years. But sometimes people say, well, I got saved and God cleaned me up. My life was this way bad. I did these bad things. And then I got saved and God cleaned me up. Jesus came into my life and now I'm the new creature. That's not new. If you take an old computer and you take it to the store, they can clean it up. And they can replace the parts that are not functioning. And they can maybe put in a new hard drive or a new memory or whatever. And then they can sell it. And it works well, but it's not new. That's called refurbished. It's not new. It's used. It's used and cleaned up. God did not say you are the used, cleaned up person. God said you are a newly made creature. Old things are passed away. The old person who was not saved is dead. You're not dead. The new person is alive. Who is the new person? The one new man, the new species. You've become a new species. Now, this is incredibly effective in a person's life. I know people who showed me their picture before they were saved, then they got saved after the picture was taken, and then they showed me the picture after a couple years of being saved and receiving the Word of God, and they asked me, can you identify me on this picture? There were like 4 or 5 people on there. I could not pick them out. They were new. literally a new creature. Now, that's not going to be true that you can't identify everybody, but it actually has a biological impact. And that happens through something called mirror neurons, and then the way that mirror neurons affect your genetics. And that's as much as we'll say about that right now. But that has a real impact. You are being constantly made new. Every hour, more than a billion cells in your body are replaced. The old ones die, new ones are made. Well, if you are new, then the new ones are made by the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and the old ones that were there before you became saved are gone. So even your body is being made new. Everything about you is being made new. So when it says you're a new creature, it actually does mean that. You are newly made. Never relate to the old creature. Unfortunately, that's not uncommon. People do that a lot. It's a mistake. Never relate to the old creature. Never relate, as some people do, to weaknesses. Never say to yourself, well, this was my past. Well, my Bible says in Galatians 2:20, that you've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live, yet it's not you that lives, it's Christ who lives in you. So for you to live is Christ. What past of Christ exactly are you talking about? What weakness of Christ exactly are you talking about? What problem did Christ have that exactly you're talking about? Now, people don't think of it that way because they don't think in terms of reality. They leave the Word of God outside of their thinking. That's a mistake. You never leave the Word of God outside of your thinking. You were made new, that means you're new. The old is gone, the new is what's left. The new is better than the old. In Romans 5:8, God commends His love toward you. The word commend in the original language is synesthesin. That word synesthesin means to take two things and make one out of those two things. So you had two things, you put them together, now you have one thing. It's like taking the pieces of something and putting them together to get the something that you're making. That's what that word is telling you. You and love were once separate. But now God took the love of God and put you together with the love of God, and now you are one thing with the love of God. That's part of being the new creature. You cannot be separated from the love of God because the love of God is a part of you. It's like saying, I'm going to separate you from your liver. Good luck with that. That's not going to happen. You cannot separate people from the love of God because people who are saved have been made to be one person with the love of God. That's the new creature. Now, when you were on the cross with Jesus as the body of Christ in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, the blood flowed over you. When it flowed over you, it cleansed you of all sin. It doesn't matter if the sin happened today, yesterday, tomorrow. It doesn't matter when. Remember, time is not what we think it is. Time, all of it, past, present, and future, exists right now. Einstein showed us that. And so, the fact that the blood flowed over you is still good. It was good yesterday, it's good today, it's going to be good tomorrow. That doesn't change. You're covered in the blood of Christ. That's a very good thing. Because that means that no sin can stay with you. Even if you do sin, the blood of Christ immediately removes the sin. Nobody can lay any charge of sin to you because you are a Christian. You are the one you meant. The blood has cleansed you from sin. We have to have that in our frame of reference, in our thinking, because we still have this old sin nature. We have what the Bible calls a body of death. This body is corrupted just like the rest of the earth is corrupted. God will replace it one day, but for the time being, this is what you got. You are not your body. The body is your coat. You are the soul that lives inside of the body. When you take the coat off and go home to be with the Lord, the body will die. You won't die. The coat will die. Now, when you go home and you take off your coat, are you still alive? Of course you are. The coat doesn't make you alive. But the coat moved, right? No, what's inside the coat moved, and it made it look like the coat moved. The coat simply moved along with what's inside of it. The body does the same thing. You are the soul. When you die, you don't die. Your body dies. The coat dies. But you continue to live. As a matter of fact, you will never experience death. Your soul will leave your body shortly before the body dies. As a matter of fact, the body dies because your soul left your body. And when, if you're a believer, you die, then you go home to be with the Lord. Now, that being the case, recognizing that the blood has cleansed you from all sins, that you are not what happens to your body, albeit it is important, I'm not saying that it makes no difference. I'm saying that's not your identity. But because you are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, because you were the body of Christ, you never have to relate to yourself according to any sin or mistake that you might make. Everybody has a sin nature. That means we all have the ability, and unfortunately we all live in that ability from time to time. We all sin. But God will never keep you with that sin. God will cleanse you from that sin through His blood. Now, that is reality. In Psalm 103:12, the sin that you commit is removed from you as far as the east is from the west. Since time and space are actually two parts of the same thing, to say that He's removing it from space, east from the west, means that He's also removing it from time. It's the same thing. So nobody can say to you, well, yesterday you did this. God will look at yesterday because He can see yesterday, and He says, no, they didn't. Now, maybe you say to yourself, I did do that. No, you didn't. How do you know I didn't? The blood of Christ has taken it out of time. It doesn't just take it away from you. It takes it out of time. It takes it out of yesterday. And so God looks at yesterday and says, I see nothing that is sin in yesterday. Why? The blood. That's part of the effects of the blood. So when the blood cleanses you from sin, I mean, it seriously cleanses you from all sin. Today, tomorrow, yesterday, all sin is removed from you by the blood of Christ. Because of that, if you do sin and then you get right with God, you forsake the sin, never stay in sin. If you find that you're in sin, get out of it as fast as possible. Sin is destructive. It'll harm you. So never stay in sin. But if you do sin, confess it to God so that you can restore your fellowship. Two cannot walk together unless they are agreed, the Bible says. And so you want to agree with God. Yeah, God, that was sin. Once you've done that, you don't have to ever worry about it again. God takes it out of time, so you can't even say, yesterday I sinned. Yesterday has no sin in it. Let that cleanse your conscience. your awareness. Never stay aware of any mistake that you made. Let the only thing you get from mistakes be the awareness of how to avoid them. But never stay aware of whatever mistake you made. You will make them. You're a human being and you're fallen. Just like all the other human beings on earth. That's not your fault. It's just your condition. It's my condition. It's everybody's condition. Don't let that worry you. If you make a mistake, tell God about it, then you can completely forget it. Because God completely forgets it. In Hebrews 8:12, he says, I don't remember your sins. God, who knows all things, does not remember your sins. That's because your sins are taken out of time. There's nothing to remember. So never think of yourself as, well, yesterday I did this and maybe I'll do it again, but you know, I hope I don't, but yesterday I did. Don't think that way. It's not good thinking. It's not truth. Once that sin has been confessed to God, God, that was sin. That's all you need to say. God, that was sin. Then forget it. Don't go on as though it never happened. Go on because it never happened. God took it out of time. That's part of being the new creature. In Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God elect? It's God who justifies. Nobody can accuse you of anything because the blood of Christ cleanses you of everything. It's like saying your coat is dirty once you've sent it through the laundry. No, it's not. Well, it was dirty. How do you know? There's no spot on the coat. It's been cleaned. You see, it's like that with the blood of Christ. Because you're the new creature, you're completely protected and cleansed, and everything that the blood of Christ does, it does for you. And so nobody can say anything against you. God will, and He does, call them a liar if they try to say anything against you. Because of the blood, because you're the new creature. If somebody says something against us, it's because they're saying against Christ. And that's the reality of it. We are the one new man with Christ. We're one person with Christ. We're His body. He's the head. If you say something against us, you say something against Christ. Christ does not put up with that. And Christ is God. And so you never have to worry about that kind of stuff. The world is nasty. Okay, the world has a lot of nasty people in it. Not everybody is. Some people are Christians, and some Christians are absolutely wonderful, though some Christians still need to grow. That's okay. Let's give them the room to grow. The Holy Spirit will never leave you, even when the world and people in the world do. Truth will never walk away from you. People may walk away from the truth. Truth will never walk away from you because the truth is, in John 17:17, the Word of God. It will never walk away from you. God will always be faithful to you. He will never leave you or forsake you, even if the world does. How can God forsake His own body? Like this morning, you got up, probably you were tired. You were tired, but that was in your body. Did your brain come here without your body? I'm looking at you, you all look like you're here in your body. I don't see any brains without bodies here. It's like that with God. The head cannot be separated from the body. God cannot separate Himself from you because you're His body. He lives inside of you. There's no way to make that separation. That's why you can't ever be unsaved. Once you're saved because you become the body of Christ. God is not cutting off His own body and just letting His head walk around by itself. Wouldn't that be creepy? You don't have to worry about things. You're the body of Christ. You are the one new man. You are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. In 1 John 3:9, whoever is born of God does not sin. Well, people say, I sin all the time. You don't get it. You have a sin nature. You may commit sin, but the sin cannot stay. The moment sin appears, the blood removes it. so nobody can say to you, you're faulty. You're faulty in your sin nature, but you are not your sin nature. The sin nature is like a wart. The wart does not define the person. The sin nature doesn't define us. So don't worry about that. If it crops up, deal with it the Bible way. In other words, either don't give in to temptation, because Satan always targets the sin nature when he tempts you. When you get tempted, by the way, recognize the source of the temptation. It's not coming from you, although it sounds like your mental voice. Satan doesn't have a voice. That was taken away from him. So what he does, he'll put thoughts in your mind, and those thoughts sound like your mental voice because it's your mental machinery that he's using for those thoughts. Don't confuse them as actually being your thoughts. If you get tempted, it's not you that's tempting you. It's Satan targeting your old sin nature. In Matthew 4:4, he is the tempter. He's the one who tempts you. It's much easier to say no to your enemy than to say no to yourself. But he's very subtle, he's very quiet, and that's part of it. He uses your mental machinery, so you think it's your own thinking. It's not. They're called projections. When he plants thoughts in your mind, those are called projections. He'll give you projections. He'll project to you to get you to think that it's your own thinking. It's not. It's your mental machinery, his thoughts. So don't be fooled by the fact that it sounds like your mental voice. It's not. It's just your mental machinery that he's trying to take advantage of. So when the temptation comes, recognize who's doing the tempting. Satan is doing the tempting. No matter what the temptation is, whether it's a temptation for outright sin or mental sin, or whether it's a temptation for verbal sin, it's Satan who's doing the thinking. When that temptation comes, recognize, oh, that's a temptation. That is a sure sign of Satan's voice. Don't give in to it. Say no to your enemy. It's so easy to say no to an enemy. Have you ever been in a place, maybe at school, and there's some kid there who's a jerk? I'm sure you've seen them. That's one of the first things you find when you're a kid. Oh, there's jerks in the world. Satan's a jerk. Just like the kid who's a jerk, it's easy to just get away from him. Satan's a jerk. Say no to the jerk. When he starts talking, just say no to him. That's how you deal with temptation. If you think you're saying no to yourself, it's much harder. Because then you start to fight yourself. And you're not going to win that one. But when you recognize it's not you, that it's the jerk doing the talking, then it's easy to say no. You are a brand new creature. You are one person with Christ. You are the body of Christ. You are God-man. You are accepted because you are a part of Christ. Let that be your identity. If somebody says to you, who are you? Say, I'm the new creature. I am the God-man. Or, as the case may be, I'm the God-woman. Remember, when the Bible says man, it's actually generic. It means men and women. And so, don't ever think of yourself as anything other than that, because then you're thinking outside of reality. You are the God-man, the new creature, one with Christ, and nothing can ever change it, not you, not anything else. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.